Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Are you deadline-driven or task-driven? Hello, everyone. Kevin Cruz here. Welcome to the LeadX Show, where we are helping you to stand out and to get ahead. I hope you'll remember to tell your friends on Facebook and at work and on LinkedIn and, hey, wherever your friends hang out. Tell them about the LeadX Show. We want to help more people and we want to build the LeadX family. I also hope you'll go to leadx.org, that's O-R-G, and check out the events. We've got lots of live, free, upcoming training for you on the website. Now, friends, I'm not going to lie. On today's interview, it's going to be a little different. Our guest is a brilliant psychoanalyst talking about her book on procrastination and emotions. But I had a hard time following along. I'm a simple guy, first in my family to go to college, state school. It was tough for me to understand her. And she was very patient with me. I think she was losing her patience with me at the end. And so I kept at it, trying to understand her views and how to make it applicable. And the show went long. So, you know, I asked my show producer to cut it back down to our normal 20-minute-ish format, but you're going to hear some jump cuts and it might sound a little different than our normal show. And, you know, normally I don't go into teaching mode, but in the spirit of trying to make sure you get a lot out of this episode, I feel like I need to set it up. And so, you know, one of her big points is that most people think procrastination is bad, and it isn't. It's okay if we delay, as long as we get things done. She met all kinds of successful people who procrastinate. They just get it all done at the last minute. And where I struggled, why I was having a hard time understanding her, was that my definition of procrastination was that it's a bad thing, because I get all these emails from people saying, help me to stop procrastinating so I can write this book or launch this company or start going to the gym or whatever. But yeah, if procrastination just means you wait until you achieve everything, sure, that's not a bad thing. And why is this even an issue? Another key point is that she makes, there's two kinds of people. People who are motivated and driven by deadlines, and others who are just motivated to get tasks done as quickly as possible. That second type, who just do things right away, I call them precrastinators, and that's actually my type. It can be a problem just the same way procrastination might be a problem. She doesn't want me to say it's a problem. So anyway, she makes this point that there's two kinds of people like that. And again, you know, whether you're deadline driven or task driven, as long as you're getting stuff done and you're happy with your results, what's the issue? We're all good. But what I challenged her with is, like, the people who are failing, they procrastinate to the point where they never study for that exam and they fail it, or they procrastinate to the point where they never start that diet, they never write that great novel that they've got inside of them. And then she gets to a point, and this has changed me. She said, the people who fail, they're not failing because of procrastination, it's usually something deeper. She said, all of this is shame-based. Remember, she's a psychoanalyst. So she said, when we procrastinate something forever and fail, it's because we would rather face the shame of being a procrastinator than the shame of writing a book that nobody reads or that stinks, or the shame of starting a business and it fails. You know, it's easier to just say, oh yeah, I'm a procrastinator, than I'm an entrepreneur and stink at it. So she's saying there's an issue behind the procrastination, and that has changed my views on it and will change how I answer people who email me for advice about procrastination. Anyway, sorry for the long windup, but I struggled in this interview probably more than any other. And I just want to make sure that you know what to listen for. You're listening for, you know, some of her pearls of wisdom. So before we dive into that, though, I do want to give you a career tip of the day. This one's around productivity. Do coffee meetings all day long. So you know how people are always asking, hey, let's grab a cup of coffee and catch up, or can I buy you a cup of coffee and pick your brain about something? So these meetings can be essential to building your network, or, you know, relationship hygiene with your current network. but they can be really disruptive to work by cutting up your days and your weeks into weird chunks of time, you know, interrupting your flow when you're in the zone. And they're inefficient, you know, driving to Starbucks over and over again to have these coffee meetings, or just walking down to the company cafeteria, you know, once a day to interrupt your day with a coffee meeting. So what I do is I batch all these grab a coffee meetings together. As an entrepreneur, I reserve one Friday every month to schedule all these meetings. So if someone wants to grab a cup of coffee and I want to meet with them, I'll say, sure, you know, let's meet at La Stalla in Newtown at whatever o'clock. And I stack them all up. I will do anywhere from 4 to 10 coffee meetings in one day. I just sit at La Stalla from 10 in the morning to like 5 in the afternoon. And I just use their Wi-Fi. So if there's a gap in my meetings, I just work from the restaurant. They know to just roll all of the items together. So they give me a bill with like 32 cups of espresso on it. I've only got half of those, and I pay the bill and go about my day. Now, when I, you know, had big clients like AstraZeneca Pharmaceuticals used to be my biggest client, I'd have 3 or 4 meetings in a day there, and meeting rooms were hard to come by. So I would just show up and camp in their cafeteria near a power cord. And I would text the people like, hey, I'm in your cafeteria. Do you want to meet here? And rather than them thinking it was rude, they thought it was great. You know, they got to get out of their office, get a little walk in, grab a soda or a cup of coffee, and, you know, hang out in a big open area instead of a little claustrophobic meeting room. And then I would stay there and text the next group, hey, I'm already hanging out in your cafeteria. Do you guys want to come to me? And so it was efficient and easy for me, and they actually found a benefit as well. Get your networking done and be time efficient. Batch your coffee meetings. Now, our guest today, she is a clinical psychologist and psychoanalyst, a professor at the Wright Institute in Berkeley, a writer for Psychology Today, and the author of What Motivates Getting Things Done? Procrastination, Emotions, and Success. Our guest is Dr. Mary Lamia. Mary, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Kevin.
Now, Mary, your new book is What Motivates Getting Things Done? Procrastination, Emotions, and Success. And obviously on a short format show like this, we can't get into all of it. But so tell us the big idea. I mean, what does motivate getting things done?
Okay. In a nutshell, emotions are intrinsic to all human motivation. But we're not solely motivated by positive emotion as many people think. I think our perceptions have been swayed by the positive psychology movement, and I don't think Seligman ever intended to have people think that only positive emotions are good. His writing is more about being resilient. But we have over-focused on feeling positive emotion. But a marvel of evolution is that we're also motivated and even driven to achieve by negative emotions. They are a primary, powerful, and misunderstood source of motivation. So labeling emotions as good or bad has nothing to do with their value. It has to do with how they motivate us through the way they make us feel. So negative emotions like disgust and anger and fear and distress and shame motivate us to do something to avoid experiencing them, or they urge us to behave in ways that'll relieve their effects. And so how we learn from dealing with core emotions throughout our lives, to a great extent, if not solely, makes us who we become.
So let me ask you some example questions. Like I, a few years back, wrote a book about time and productivity and procrastination. And so I get every week emails from strangers, and the ones related to procrastination I get most are from students, usually college students, who are saying, I want to be a straight A student and I care so much about all this stuff. I want, and yet I can't motivate myself to start that paper or to study for the exam. Another one I get, being a writer also, is, and I'm sure your friends, you've heard this, is I want to write this book. I've got it all figured out, but I just can't get started. And then finally, the third I get is from wannabe entrepreneurs. Kevin, you know, you've started and sold so many companies. That's my dream. I know exactly the kind of company, but for some reason, I just can't get myself started. So, I mean, how would you answer those kinds of questions, those emails of people who claim that they know exactly what they want and, you know, whether it's to write or get straight A's, but they're saying they can't get started. What would you say?
I love those people. They are my favorite people. And often when they write to somebody like you or me about their procrastination, they're in the midst of a procrastination cycle and they're getting close to a deadline and their anxiety is getting raised. So they begin to question themselves and they talk to friends and they say, you know, my problem is that I procrastinate, etc. That said, contrary to popular belief, procrastination does not necessarily interfere with success, and early action does not inevitably result in a favorable outcome. Procrastination should not be linked with failure, just as early action should not be tied to success. In all of the high achievers I studied, there's two criteria for success, and they all met it. Never miss a deadline, and that your work reflects your best efforts, period. That's what these high achievers do. They never miss deadlines, whether or not they procrastinate. And their work reflects their best efforts. So basically, the divergent ways in which high achievers are motivated to complete tasks is based on when their emotions are activated and what activates them. Procrastinators who consistently complete tasks on time, even if it's the last minute, are motivated by emotions activated when a deadline is imminent. They're deadline driven, and I call them deadline driven to try to get away from the stigma of the word procrastination, but I found that I just have to use it anyway. But in contrast to procrastinators, task-driven people are non-procrastinators who, when they're faced with uncompleted tasks, feel compelled to take action right away.
Now, Mary, is there a way, like for some people, it might be self-evident, but for someone to say, am I more of a deadline-driven person or am I more of a task-driven person? How might we figure that out for ourselves?
I think most people know if they're highly activated when they get closer to a deadline versus, right away, even though, you know, there are ways in which there is some confusion around it. For example, take a task-driven person and a deadline-driven person who has to be in an appointment at 3 o'clock and they have to leave the house at 2:45. Both of those styles may get a whole lot of things done because they're about to leave the house. For different reasons, though, the task-driven person just wants to get all these things off their plate before they go to their appointment. The deadline-driven person sees the appointment as a deadline to do all these other things. I mean, there's so many variations on the theme, but right. I think people know where they're most effective. The people who don't know their motivational style are people who habitually fail. Failure is different than procrastination. Anybody I see who says, I fail repeatedly because I'm a procrastinator and that's my problem, you can bet that their problem has nothing to do with procrastination. Their delay becomes an excuse for why they fail when in fact something else is going on with them emotionally. And people have a hard time looking at what makes them fail. Shame motivates us to save face. Some people save face by succeeding. People who habitually fail save face by making an excuse, and procrastination is a great excuse.
Mary, I just want to interrupt because this is really, I want to make sure our listeners get this. This is interesting to me because this goes back to, you know, sort of how you started and my, you know, silly setups of students and all the rest. It's sort of like if procrastination is when you eventually get it done, you succeed, but you know, it takes a while to get you going. But when I'm getting these emails from people like, oh, I'm failing my test because I'm procrastinating the studying, that's not necessarily true. You're saying they're failing, they're not procrastinating, and it could be something else behind that, whether they've got a fear of being a straight A student because that would make them look like a nerd, or because I don't know what, but there's something else behind it. It really isn't a procrastination issue.
And it's very, very sad that some people blame it on procrastination, so they never take care of the real problem. Another Psychology Today blog post I wrote is procrastination is not to blame. That was the title. And procrastination is not to blame. You know, the shame of defeat kind of challenges our potential to look with interest at ourselves and to learn from it. And you know what? People who repeatedly fail have a hard time looking at themselves. When you think about it, if we are the product of all the emotional memories we have, all of our memories throughout our life are stored in our brain. So whenever there is a current situation, our brain automatically, not consciously, scans every single emotional memory and comes up with what we should feel.
Yeah, it's less shameful to say you're a procrastinator than to say you tried to do it and it didn't work out.
So it's very important for people who fail to create new emotional memories a little at a time, just one at a time, of approaching a situation in spite of the fear that one is going to fail and getting it done and having a success, so that they have many emotional memories piled on all the rest of their emotional memories. They have emotional memories of success. And, you know, that's why people who succeed will tell you success is addicting. Because every time you succeed, all of those emotional memories of your successes light up.
What would be an activity we might be able to do in the next 24 hours to help us to, you know, get more things done, become more motivated, overcome our procrastination? Anything on, I know there's no miracle, but anything other than read the book.
Don't say overcome our procrastination, because procrastination is not something to overcome. What we need to do instead is to take a look at how you get things done. Understand that there are emotions that motivate everything you do. And to not be afraid of looking at oneself and being curious and interested in one's own emotional life, and to use the octane provided by your emotions to get things done. Learn how to use that octane and see it as an octane. So if people walk away and the one thing they do is recognize that emotions are the fuel for what drives us, that will help, because so much of the focus tends to be on getting rid of one's emotions as though they're an interference, when in fact, they're your motivation. So if you walk away with that in the next 24 hours, you're way ahead of the game.
You did it, Mary. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. I think that's great to just to think and feel that, to recognize that emotions are the fuel. I love it. Mary, where can people find out more about you and your work?
Well, they can go to my website, marylamia.com, marylamia.com, or whatmotivatesgettingthingsdone.com.
Excellent. Mary, thanks for coming on to the LeadX Show.
So nice to talk with you, Kevin.
Friends, before we go, remember, at LeadX, we're on a mission to give free leadership training and professional development to everyone, anywhere, at any time. Visit leadx.org to check out our upcoming webinars and online training events, and subscribe to our newsletter to be notified of new offerings. And please take 1 minute to go to leadx.org/subscribe to subscribe and leave a rating on iTunes, because we're at 227 reviews as of this moment, and I need to get to 300. Just in the last week, we've had awesome 5-star ratings from Garth, Trish Way, Die in AZ, Tri Guru, Indigo Cole, Elsie Flores, and so many others. Please join them. LeadX.org/subscribe. Until next time, remember, your family, your team at work, your community, we all need you to lead with intent. How will you lead today?